We're continuing with the Psalms through Lent, and today's psalm is Psalm 32. The one whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered over, is truly happy. The one the Lord doesn't consider guilty, in whose spirit there is no dishonesty, that one is truly happy. When I kept quiet, my bones wore out. I was groaning all day long, every day, every night, because your hand was heavy upon me. My energy was sapped as if in a summer drought. So I admitted my sin to you. I didn't conceal my guilt. I'll confess my sins to the Lord, is what I said. Then you removed the guilt of my sin. That's why all the faithful should pray to you during troubled times, so that a great flood of water won't reach them. You are my secret hideout. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of rescue. I will instruct you and teach you about the direction you should go. I'll advise you and keep my eye on you. Don't be like some senseless horse or mule whose movement must be controlled with a bit and a bridle. Don't be anything like that. The pain of the wicked is severe, but faithful love surrounds the one who trusts the Lord. You who are righteous, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. All you whose hearts are right, sing out in joy. This is our prayer. Lord, hear our prayer. There is a theme this week in the lectionary text. There's this theme of confession and repentance and forgiveness. We didn't read the Old Testament passage today, but the Old Testament comes from Joshua, and it tells the story of God's people returning to God's ways, and God says to them, "Today I have rolled away your disgrace." The passage from 2 Corinthians tells us that God reconciles us to God's self through Christ, not by counting our sins against us, but through Christ. The gospel reading tells the parable of the prodigal son, the son who demands his inheritance way too soon and then spends it all on extravagant things. And when he realizes the situation he has put himself in, he returns home in the hopes of confessing and becoming a servant or a hired hand. But instead, his father embraces him and throws a huge party to welcome his son home. And Psalm 32 says that the one who confesses their sin, whose wrongdoing is forgiven, is truly happy. Confession and repentance are prominent themes in these passages and in many other parts of Scripture. And confession and repentance have been important parts of the church since the beginning. Throughout our history, confession has been a regular part of church gatherings. In this congregation, we regularly pray a communal prayer of confession each and every week. John and Charles Wesley formed band meetings, also known as holy clubs, where Christians would gather together for some serious self-examination. In these meetings, members would ask each other deep questions, intimate questions. One of these questions was, "What known sins have you committed since our last meeting?" This question was asked every week. Every week, the members would go around taking turns answering it out loud to each other. Every week, members would confess their sins to one another. Talk about nerve-wracking. John and Charles Wesley clearly believed in the power of confession. The early church clearly believed in the power of confession. But today, confession causes us a lot of anxiety. If I were to ask everyone here to turn to the person sitting next to them and confess their known sins from the past week, my guess is that most of us would want to stand up and walk out, myself included. Because we don't like the concept of confession. It makes us uncomfortable. It scares us. It causes us anxiety. But the scriptures see confession as a very good thing. The church has long seen confession as a very good thing. So why don't we? What about confession causes us so much anxiety? Well, for one thing, we care a lot about what other people think of us. We care a lot about our reputations, and confession might hurt our reputations. If I confess to you that I have messed up, that I am less than perfect, that I am in fact capable of making mistakes, and I often, in fact, make many mistakes, then there is a chance that you might start to think less of me. And if there's a chance that you might think less of me, then it means that there's a chance that God might think less of me. And I simply can't have that, so it's better to just avoid confession. We also don't want people to think that we're incompetent. If I make a mistake, it might make you think that I'm incapable of doing certain things because I was less than perfect. I don't want you to think that I'm not smart or unqualified or something, so it's better to just not confess. And I think that the biggest reason that confession causes us anxiety is that we have a fear of rejection. If I confess to you that I have wronged you, then there is a chance that you might not want to be in a relationship with me anymore. You might not want to be my friend or my acquaintance. You might not want me to be a part of your life anymore. You might not love me anymore. If I confess to God, God might not love me anymore. God might see me as a failure or a disappointment. God might see me as a loser. I cannot risk that kind of rejection, so it's just better not to confess. It's fine with me that confession is in Scripture. It's cool that confession has been a part of the church, but confession is just not for me. There's too many unknowns, and it causes me too much anxiety. These are the reasons that we don't like confession. Confession is scary. It's uncomfortable. It causes us anxiety. But the problem with all of these reasons is that they see confession as something that is all about us. These reasons see confession as something that is all about what we have done. But confession is not about what we have done, it is about who we are. Confession is not about what we do. It's about what God does. Confession is not about our sin. It's about renewing and restoring who we are in God's image. I'm going to say that again. Confession is not about our sin. It's not about the things that we have done or have not done. It's about renewing and restoring who we are in God's image. It's not about seeing ourselves as failures and disappointments and losers. It's about how God sees us. And God sees us as beloved no matter what we have done. The focus of confession should not be on us. It should be on who God is, what God has done, and who God says we are. The gospel reading and the psalm actually go together really well this week. In the parable of the prodigal son, when the son realizes that he's made a terrible mistake, he decides to return home. He thinks at the very least he can return home to beg his father's forgiveness and become a servant, so then he'll actually have food and shelter. There are few journeys in this life that we will make than the journey on our way to a very difficult conversation. The journey on our way to where you have to confess to something awful. I would imagine on the whole journey back home, the son was filled with disgrace and shame. That the son was embarrassed, humiliated even. I'd imagine that on the whole journey back home, the son's mind was racing with questions. Will my father even hear a word that I have to say? Will I even be allowed to set foot on the property? What will my father say? Will he even say anything at all? Is he just going to burn with disappointment? Will he even look at me? Does he hate me? And I would imagine that the son's anxiety increased the closer he got to what was once his home. And so on the whole journey, the son rehearsed his confession. He thinks through exactly what it is that he's going to say and exactly how it is that he's going to say it. But when he finally arrives at home, in fact, before he even arrives at home, when he's still off in the distance, before he can utter a syllable of his confession, his father sees him in the distance and then runs to him and embraces him. When the father releases him, the son spills into his confession. Father, I have sinned against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But the father addresses the servants and gives instructions for the celebration that he wants to throw for the return of his son. The son says, Father, I no longer deserve to be called your son. And the father says, my son has returned home. My son was lost and is now found. My son was dead and is now alive. We must celebrate. The son says, I no longer deserve to be called your son because of what I have done. And the father says, you are my son. It is who you are. This is what confession is about. This is why confession is good and beautiful. Because you see, the father didn't need his son to verbalize his sin. But the son's shame was stripped of its power when he named his sin and he reclaimed his identity as his father's beloved son. In the same way, confession isn't about God needing us to verbalize our sin. That's not what confession is about. But our shame is stripped of its power when we name our sin for what it is and we reclaim our identity as the beloved children of God. Confession is not about shame. It's not about giving ourselves demerits. It's not about diminishing our value. When we choose to confess, before we can even utter a word, before we even utter a syllable, God runs to us and embraces us. We say, God, I no longer deserve to be called your child. And God says, my child has returned home. My child was lost and is now found. My child was dead and is now alive. We must celebrate. We say, I no longer deserve to be called your child because of what I have done. And God says, you are my child. It is who you are. The prodigal son's father celebrated his return home. The Father celebrated the Son. The Father didn't celebrate what the Son had done or had not done, but who the Son was. And in the same way, God celebrates us. God doesn't celebrate what we have done or what we have not done. God celebrates who we are. Confession is about coming home. It's recognizing that God is our home, that God is always there waiting for us. Not angrily pacing around so God can tell us what for when we get in. Waiting for us so God can run to us and meet us and embrace us and celebrate us. Our faith is this radical trust that home has always been there and will always be there. And we express this faith through confession. Psalm 32 says it beautifully. Faithful love surrounds the one who trusts the Lord. The one whose wrongdoing is forgiven, whose sin is covered, is truly happy. The one who stripped shame of its power is truly happy. The one who returns home, not because of what they have done, but because of who they are, is truly happy. The invitation to confession is not an invitation to ruin our reputations. It's not an invitation to reveal ourselves as incompetent or disappointments or failures. It's not an invitation to rejection. The invitation to confession is an invitation to come home, to reclaim our identity as children of God and to be celebrated for who we are because of who God is. That's good news, Scottsdale. That is news worth celebrating. So the call to new life that all of the lectionary texts give us this week is the call to come home. Lent is the perfect season to embrace confession, because as we wander through the wilderness, we can find hope in knowing that we can always come home. That home is always there waiting for us. So our call to new life is to come home and celebrate. Celebrate the fact that you were lost and you've now been found. Celebrate the fact that you were dead and now you are alive. Celebrate that God has redeemed you and restored you, that God has given you the identity of being a beloved child. And all the while, know this. God is not mad at you. God is not disappointed in you. God is not ashamed of you. God has always loved you. And God cannot wait for you to come home. God of love, your invitation to confession is the invitation to come home, where you are there waiting for us, ready to run and embrace us and celebrate our return. Whatever shame might be holding us back, whatever humiliation or disgrace we might think makes us unworthy to be called your child, we ask that you would strip these things away from us. That you would remind us once more that it's not what we have done, but who we are that matters. And you say who we are is beloved. You say who we are is your child, your children. So God, we thank you for welcoming us home once more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.